No pressure, Scott.
We'll call the district plan hearing to order. You're up to day 10. Time flies when you're having fun. Mr. Eke, you're here for Ms. Red Eye and a number of others, I think.
Yeah.
How would you like to proceed?
Jackie Red Eye and others to provide expert planning evidence in relation to their submission. The following is a summary of my evidence in chief, which was lodged on the 4th of April 2017. I have with me today four of the submitters, Jude Hall, Jackie Red Eye, Lauren Gillespie and Simon Jackson.
You're all very welcome. Happy to have you.
The submitters comprise a group of seven landowners who collectively own rural general zoned land to the west of Riverbank Road and to the north of Orchard Road in Wanaka. Following encouraging discussions with council at the district plan review drop-in sessions, the landowners came together to lodge a submission seeking that the properties, along with two neighbouring properties, are rezoned from rural to rural residential. The submission site comprises lots 1 to 9 DP 300773, resulting in a total area of 38.8 hectares. The site is generally flat and vegetated in pasture grass, poplar shelter belt planting and landscaping associated with existing residential development. Eight of the nine properties include existing dwellings and associated accessory buildings, and the currently undeveloped property includes an approved residential building platform. Lot 1 also includes an existing berry farm and visitor accommodation activity, and Lot 8 includes an existing vineyard.
Can you tell us where on Lot 7, I'm just turning to your plan, where the building, approved building platform is?
I believe it is generally in line with the buildings on Lot 5 and 6, so to the kind of southern end of Lot 7.
Thank you.
So referring to the context plan that I've attached to this summary, the land in the immediate vicinity of the submission site includes 13.3 hectares of low density residential and 2.5 hectares of industrial B zoned land to the northwest, which has recently been rezoned as part of Plan Change 46. In addition, the land on the eastern side of Riverbank Road is zoned rural lifestyle. However, the topographic and flood hazard constraints on this land has resulted in all residential dwellings being located in the narrow terrace edge immediately adjacent to Riverbank Road, such that when viewed from Riverbank Road and the submission site, the rural lifestyle zoned land appears to have a much higher density of residential development than the rural lifestyle zone provides for. So I've marked generally the areas of the lots of those the rural lifestyle zone properties on that terrace edge, there's 12 properties that include existing dwellings, and the average lot size, the average density of those dwellings on that upper terrace edge is one dwelling per 3,000 square metres. And the plan also shows the flood hazard, which has resulted in all of the habitable buildings being located on the terrace edge.
So, just so I'm clear, what you've drawn here is the effective edge of the terrace rather than the boundary of the lot.
Yes, correct. Yeah. Just to illustrate my point that the apparent density of that area is perhaps higher than the zoning would suggest, at least when viewed from Riverbank Road.
Should we use the chair?
Certainly.
The red dotted line, is that the boundary edge, or is
that? So there's the red dotted line around Plan Change 46 low density residential zone. That's the urban growth boundary.
Yep.
And the red dotted line that follows Orchard Road, crosses Riverbank Road and then continues down to the edge of the river, that's the, I believe, the wastewater scheme boundary.
Right.
There's also, it's hard to see, but there's also a corresponding blue dotted line, which is the water scheme boundary. The red and blue dots overlay each other a little bit.
Thank you.
Consequently, the submission site comprises an anomalous pocket of rural zoned land which has an established character more akin to the rural living zones, and which is located between low density residential and urban. Low-density residential and industrial B-zone land to the northwest and part of the rural lifestyle zone to the southeast that has the appearance of being particularly densely developed. In addition, the submission site is located adjacent to the proposed urban growth boundary within the Warnaka water and wastewater scheme boundaries and reasonably close to three parks, being 1 kilometre away as the crow flies. The Valentine Road industrial area being 500 metres away, and Central Warnaka being 2.4 kilometres to the northwest. As outlined in my evidence, I consider that the relief sought generally aligns with the provisions of the National Policy Statement on Urban Development Capacity and is generally consistent with the provisions of the operative Regional Policy Statement and is not contrary to the proposed Regional Policy Statement. I consider that the higher order provisions of the proposed district plan, being the objectives and policies contained in the strategic direction, urban development and landscape chapters, are appropriate, and I consider that the relief sought is generally consistent with those provisions. While the owners of lots 8 and 9 do not wish to be part of the group submission, the group understood that they did not oppose the proposed rezoning. Further submission was, however, made by the owner of Lot 8, Mr. Ian Percy, and that submission related to the potential reverse sensitivity effects on his existing vineyard operation. I understand, however, that Mr. Percy has withdrawn his submission, and I've attached an email between Mr. Percy and Ms. Hall, where Mr. Percy explains that he's spoken to council with a view to withdrawing his submission. In addition, a further submission was received from Orchard Gold Holdings Limited, seeking that the Red Eye submission be rejected unless Plan Change 46 is made operative. Plan Change 46 has since been made operative, and consequently understand that the further submission of Orchard Road Holdings Limited falls away. With regard to reverse sensitivity effects on Mr. Percy's vineyard operation, farming activities are provided for as a permitted activity. in the rural residential zone, and the proposed district plan noise limits provide a higher noise limit for the operation of frost bands. In addition, the objectives and policies of the rural residential zone acknowledge that farming activities with associated noise, dust, odour and vehicle movements form part of the rural environment. As such, I consider that reverse sensitivity effects are limited to Mr. Percy's ability to use a helicopter for frost fighting in the event that his frost fan breaks down. Given that Mr. Percy has withdrawn his further submission opposing the proposed rezoning, it appears that he is satisfied that the rezoning will not result in significant adverse reverse sensitivity effects. In terms of landscape effects associated with the proposed rezoning, I note and accept Ms. Melsoff's opinion that the rezoning would result in a loss of the remaining rural character and blur the distinction between urban and rural areas. I consider, however, that the existing development on the submission site and existing and zone development in the immediate vicinity results in an established character that is not entirely rural. I therefore consider that while some rural character may be lost, the existing character is already somewhat compromised when compared to other parts of the rural zone. In addition, while I agree that the distinction between urban and rural will not be as pronounced as it would be under the rural zone, I consider that the transition from urban to rural will still be noticeable and appropriate. Adding to that, I note that the low-density residential zone that was approved as part of Plan Change 46 includes an increased setback from its boundary with the rural general zone. That setback is 15 metres and there's a requirement to form a 2.5 metre high landscape bund along that boundary. In addition, the low density residential zone land is elevated above the submission site, somewhere in the order of 10 to 15 metres higher, and I consider that will contribute to the transition from urban to rural. I note that the rural residential and rural lifestyle chapter of the proposed district plan directs those zones to locate on the periphery of urban areas, and I consider that the proposed rezoning will provide additional rural living opportunities in close proximity to urban Wanaka. I note that I note that Ms. Melsop is of the opinion that it would be appropriate from a landscape perspective to rezone the submission site as rural lifestyle rather than the proposed rural residential zoning. While a rural lifestyle zoning would provide some scope for further development of the submission site, that scope would be limited given the existing land areas and boundaries. Only 5 of the existing properties exceed 4 hectares in area, and as such the remaining 4 properties would not comply with the average lot size for the rural lifestyle zone of 2 hectares. In his evidence relating to infrastructure, Mr. Glasner opposes the proposed rezoning on the basis that it would create an expectation that services would be extended and upgraded to serve the proposed zone. While the submission site is within the Wanaka water and wastewater scheme boundaries, there is scope for rural residential development to be self-sufficient in terms of servicing. Alternatively, I consider there is scope for services to be extended and, if necessary, upgraded to serve the submission site at such time as a subdivision is proposed. I consider that either option is likely to encourage the submitters to work collaboratively, which would lead to a design-led approach as the submission site or parts of the submission site are developed. Similarly, I consider that a design-led approach could be utilised to ensure that suitable roading and vehicle crossings are constructed at the time of subdivision, such that adverse effects on the safety and efficiency of Riverbank Road and Orchard Road are minimised. Overall, I consider that the relief sought will not result in significant adverse reverse sensitivity effects, and that the rural character of the submission site is already somewhat compromised through existing in-zone development both on and adjacent to the site. I consider that while services may not be immediately available to the submission site, the site is within the water and wastewater scheme boundaries, and any servicing constraints are likely to encourage a collaborative design-led approach at such time as the land is developed. Such an approach would also allow for roading vehicle crossings to be designed to minimise effects on the existing road network. I consider that the objectives and policies of the proposed district plan, as they relate to landscapes, rural living and urban development, are the most appropriate means of achieving the purpose of the Act, and that the relief sought is the most appropriate means of achieving those objectives. I consider that the relief sought is consistent with Section 5 of the Act and has appropriate regard to relevant Section 7 matters. I therefore consider that the relief sought by Jackie Redeye and others, being the rezoning of the submission site as rural residential, achieves the purposes of the RMA.
Now, Ms. Greig, I wonder if you could clarify one point for me. Over a year ago, I was on the panel hearing strategic sections of the plan, and Mr. Jackson and Ms. Gillespie gave evidence to that, where it residential address of 83 Orchard Road. Are they one of your team?
Yes.
We're both here.
Good. Sorry, it was so long ago, I've forgotten. They raised the question at that hearing of the adjacent submission by Orchard Road Holdings to rezone the land. I'm not sure what direction that it's on.
To the west?
Yes, immediately to the west, to low density residential. The question for you is, in terms of the appropriate planning response, does it alter if we should find favour with the Orchard Road holding submission? Does that make it, does that improve the case that you're advancing, or does it make it more difficult? Does it suggest that some other relief might be? What's the interrelationship between those two applications?
If the Commissioner is reminded to grant the relief sought by Orchard Road Holdings, that would contribute to the character of the area. It would further reduce the rural character and make the submission site a bit more of an anomaly. In that it is sandwiched between low-density residential and rural lifestyle and zoned land to a greater degree. I think rezoning of the Orchard Road Holdings property would most likely bring services closer to the site. And I note that Ms. Millsop's evidence recommends that a similar buffer strip and planting, I think she recommended to planting 4 metres high, is applied to the Orchard Road Holdings land if it was rezoned. So I think that would help maintain a consistent transition from the low density residential to the rural residential, well, the proposed rural residential land on the submission site.
I suppose the question that's going through my mind is, in terms of the alternatives, have you or your clients, in fact, undershot, been insufficiently ambitious? If Orchard Road is zoned low density residential, is one of the alternatives that ought to be considered that this land should be low density residential as well?
Yeah, I think that's certainly an option to consider. We did discuss not going as far as low density residential, but whether it was worth requesting the relocation of the urban growth boundary to follow Orchard Road and Riverbank Road, and the potential for rezoning as large lot residential. That could potentially be the proposed large lot residential A or B zones, 4,000 or 2,000 square metres. I think that would fit well with the what the submitters are keen to achieve. The one point I note is that it doesn't provide for the vineyard operation may struggle to expand and that farming will become non-compliant. They could continue to operate under existing use rights, but perhaps the reverse sensitivity issues would be greater. Whether there's really any scope for expansion of the vineyard is hard to say. On the aerial image, it takes up most of the property. I suppose there's potential for the urban growth boundary to follow the access leg into lot 5, with lots 8 and 9 being left as rural general, rural zoning. I appreciate that that's creating an even smaller anomalous pocket of rural zoned land, but it does provide for the existing vineyard activity.
Wouldn't want to get your crazy up your hopes up, because I think we couldn't actually recommend that relief because of the scope of your submission, I think.
Mm.
But it does occur to me that there are more options on the table. You've just given us, I don't want to be disrespectful, your stream of consciousness answer.
Yeah.
Because I threw that curveball at you, and I appreciate your assistance. Commissioner Monroe.
I'd like to follow on. We've seen you a few times before. You've represented a number of submitters. So would you feel you've got a pretty good handle on the broader issues facing Wanaka as a whole?
Yeah, I believe so.
So following on from the Chair's comment to you, strategically, looking at the constraints around town, is there a scenario where this land should be part of the urban area of Wanaka, whether it's what we now call low-density residential or medium-density, or let's just say much higher density than is currently being sought?
I think there is.
Okay. without going into the specifics, we are challenged in another part of the district with submissions in this process, where development has historically occurred to densities similar to what's now being sought, and the land is now being proposed for the next wave of upzoning. Only there are a whole bunch of practical problems that have become apparent, like where would the roads go? And instead of 9 owners being corralled to work together, there's about 50. And some of the evidence we've been received is that we've actually blown the opportunity. It's now too hard because we didn't think about future-proofing it at the start.
Mm.
So if it's on our mind and we think about the reasonably conceivable needs of future generations as the law requires us to, and we think a major risk with granting the relief that's sought now is a chop-up into 4,000 lots with a random arrangement of each individual owner just does their own thing, which is what the relief is seeking.
Mm.
We might be shooting ourselves in the foot at such time as the land is due for the next wave of rezoning, and we go, the next wave of hearing commissioners says, oh no, we threw that opportunity away too. So what do we do about that? How do we find ourselves in a position of agreeing with you, were we to agree with you, but also not create a future problem?
It's a difficult one. I think the large lot residential A and B zones within the urban growth boundary are potentially creating a similar issue. I think a collaborative approach to the development of the land could provide roads with scope for future development, but it would be difficult to really achieve that with any level of certainty.
So what you've told me so far is that, well, too bad it's happening anyway with the large lot residential zones, and if the current owners wanted to be future-minded, they could do so. Neither of those are really very helpful answers, are they, in terms of building confidence on this side of the table and how we could make sure future opportunities weren't needlessly wasted. Is there something more definitive you could think of?
Not short of requiring a structure plan that addressed future development.
What would your position be if I told you that when we discussed the Orchard Road Holdings submission with Mr. Dickey, he expressed a great deal of enthusiasm for a structure plan exercise to figure out where the future roads should be in the future zones and the future sequence and coordinate things in a way that made sure the right balance was made between short-term and long-term development of the land.
Would
knowing that the submitter right next door has promoted to us that we might recommend that the council think about some form of structure plan have any bearing on what you've just said to me about structure plan?
Yeah, I think that would be a good option for the submission site. Not only future-proofing development, but ensuring that the design and layout of the development meets the various constraints in terms of access and servicing under the proposed zoning.
Okay, look, thanks for that. I've got some questions. Mr. Hudson.
I've got one point of clarification for me, Scott. Ian Percy. Is there a distinction between withdrawing a submission and not objecting? Is he technically withdrawn his whole submission, or is he just saying that he's not objecting, not opposing?
For the submission to be withdrawn, it would need to be formally withdrawn. I'm not certain whether that has been followed up by Mr. Percy or by council.
Because it just seems to say that Tim Fogler didn't oppose this sort of thing.
Yes.
Which is sort of the same as Lot 9, but it's not actually withdrawn.
Perhaps I could follow that up with council and confirm.
Yeah, just if it did progress to a different type of application, we will still be live. I don't have any further questions in terms of submission.
I do have one that I should have asked you then, Ms. Rifkin. You did mention in your evidence about the need for Mr. Percy to, from time to time, operate a helicopter as part of the vineyard operation, and you suggested that there might be some solution to that, and I just wondered if you've given it any further thought The reverse sensitivity issue potentially exists now, but what you were saying was you acknowledge if there was any increase in density, then that might be greater.
Aside from leaving Mr. Percy's property zoned rural, which then farming activities wouldn't be subject to the same noise limits, Mr. Percy could progress a consent application for very occasional breach of the noise limits.
So are you saying then that it's because of the zoning sought by your clients change would if we were of the mind to accept the submission, then that changes the permitted noise level.
Yeah.
So that disadvantages him in terms of the permitted noise relative to boundaries.
Yeah, it still provides for the use of his frost pan. There's a higher limit for frost bans, but that wouldn't extend to the use of a helicopter. It's hard to say how likely that might be. It would take the frost ban breaking down on a frosty morning for him ever to get to that point, but I suppose it's possible.
Yeah, now it's my understanding that noise is not a matter that comes under existing use rights, so the intermittent use of a helicopter wouldn't, or would it, in your experience, come under the rights that he currently enjoys in the operation of the vineyard?
I'm not certain. I suspect he may have had to use the helicopter as a permitted activity to establish those existing use rights. But I'm not certain. I need to.
Do you know whether he does use a helicopter now? And the submitters are saying no.
There's a lot of shaking heads behind me. We'll take that as a paper guard in the back of the
head. All right. I won't tell you anything. Thank you.
Question for you, Mr. Egger. Are those noise limits we're talking about at the boundary or at a notional boundary of a dwelling?
Within the rural residential zone, my understanding is that they're at the notional boundary of the dwelling. Within the low density residential zone, it's at the boundary of the zone.
And looking at the aerial, the houses and the building platform you've identified are all at the far end of those lots 5, 6, and 7. In effect, the notional boundary would be coming closer to if there were any subdivision.
Yes, yeah.
Subtext is Commissioner McLeod's question is very highly relevant as to whether Mr. Percy's submission has formally been withdrawn.
Mm. Yes, I'll confirm that today.
And lastly, with your discussion and your evidence about the NPS, you talked about the wider urban environment. That's not the first time I've heard you read your evidence on that subject. Mm. Where does the wider urban environment stop?
It's hard to say. It's not clearly defined in in the NPS, I would say I would say probably the extent of the rural living zones around Warnocken and Albertown.
Contiguous with the existing urban area, perhaps, or not necessarily?
Not necessarily.
Then, last question, paragraph 21. You say that the NPS UDC must be given effect to through the proposed district plan. What's your legal authority for that proposition?
Sorry, I don't have any authority. I appreciate that statement might be incorrect.
So if I told you that the High Court had said, in the context of the National Policy Statement for Freshwater Management, that a regional plan in progress when that document was issued did not have to give effect to it, you might think that that could possibly be correct. Well, let's call a spade. You haven't got authority, and I suggest that there might be authority to the direct opposite.
Sorry, I accept that.
Any more?
If the proposition that Jerry just put to you was the case, and for whatever reason the NPS did not apply, would any of your conclusions change?
No.
Okay.
Thank you very much, Mr. Baker. And to your team behind you, you're very welcome and pleased to see you, and thank you for your contribution to the hearing. Time no see.
Good morning. I think my presentation this morning may be a little shorter than yesterday's one.
Hopefully just as fast.
Just as fast.
Please proceed.
I'm appearing this morning on behalf of submissions 783 from Ralph and Rachel Todd, 815 on behalf of Curtis and Barry Morgan, and 254 from the McCutcheons. These submissions are similar to three other submissions that all sought to rezone 58 hectares west of the intersection of Studham Road and Cadrona Valley Road. Currently this area includes 18 properties with areas ranging from about 8,800 square metres to 6.1 hectares. And the average of those 18 properties is approximately 3.2 hectares. These submissions sought this area be rezoned from rural to rural lifestyle zone. The proposed rezoning would allow for approximately 10 additional houses or lots in the submission area. The additional density I consider would be unlikely to cause a change in the landscape character and amenity and provide a comprehensive transition between urban uses to the north of Studham Road and rural uses to the south of the subject sites. a Section 32 analysis of the proposed objectives, comparing the rural living objectives as proposed against the rural objectives as contained in my evidence. This assessment concludes that the rural living provisions are more appropriate to achieve the sustainable management in the submission area. The submission area has already been developed to the extent that it is already rural living in character, although rurally zoned, but is able to accommodate the limited future subdivision and development provided for by the rural living zone, is that like causing changes to landscape character and visual amenity. I've reviewed the Section 42A report in relation to these submissions and agree with its conclusions, including the suggestion of a building restriction area along Katoan Valley Road. And I'd like to answer any questions.
Do you agree with the width of the building area restriction line as the proposed?
I had no issues or concerns with the width.
Okay. I have no questions.
Commissioner Hudson? Commissioner McHerb?
All good, thank you.
Short and sweet, all good.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. White. During the hearing until 11:50, or when the Lake County Fire Station team arrive, whichever is first.